today we also have another special group of people among us. You know, Sarah and I were reflecting a little bit this morning about our graduation date. She graduated on June 2nd, and I graduated on June 7th. We went to different schools together. Yeah, we went to different schools. But it's hard to believe that it's been 44 years since I graduated high school. And I know what some of you are thinking. They said, how did he graduate high school at 4 years old? I know that's what you're thinking, but it's hard to believe because it seems sometimes like it was just yesterday. But God's blessed me and Sarah. He's blessed us so much. But you know, it always excites me to see young people grow up. And today is all about growing up. It's all about family, and it's all about kids. And those of you that are here this morning that are graduating high school in the next few days, pardon me for calling you a kid, but you are still one. And when you're 62 years old, if you are under 30 years old, you're still a kid, okay? And let me tell you something, graduates or all young people in this room this morning, you're always going to be your mama and daddy's baby, okay? You always are going to be. So need not think you're ever going to outgrow that, because it doesn't happen. But this morning we want to honor our graduates, and I'm going to ask the Voice of Praise version of Vanna White. I'm going to ask my wife Sarah to come up and help me this morning. And we have all three of our graduates this year are young ladies. And I'm going to ask them if they would come up and join us. There's one that couldn't be with us this morning, but I want Miss Allison. I'm not sure where Miss Allison is at. Miss Allison is graduating Montcalm High School. I believe she is fourth in her class. And she is a very bright, intelligent young lady. Someone says she takes most of her smarts after her granddaddy, Turner. And we have a special gift, but I want you to hold on with me just a moment here. Marissa is graduating Princeton High School, and she has scholarly achieved so much. She has done so well, and they both have bright futures. And we also have Nikki Clower. Nikki can't be here with us this morning, but each of these graduates are getting one of the greatest gifts that they could be given. They are being given a copy of the Word of God. And are you going to camp? Are you? You can take that to camp with you, Marissa. Look at that. You're going to Fairmont here later this summer to further your education. I didn't ask you, are you furthering your education? Marissa's going to Liberty too. So two great educational endeavors out of these young ladies. So you have a little special gift that I know your age like, and it has to do with coffee, okay? All right. And you're all so strange to drink cold coffee. I don't understand that. But you have these Bibles in your hand, and I want you to take them with you wherever you go. Wherever you're in school, I want you to always keep your Bible close by you. It's going to help you, and it's going to guide you through life. But this is what I want you to do. I'm going to ask Sarah. She's down here taking pictures, but I don't ask her to come back up here. Somebody else can do a picture or two along the way. And you're always welcome in today's service. You're welcome at any time to do pictures if you'd like. But I want you all to reach your hand this way, church. Sarah's going to pray with Marissa, and I'm going to pray with Allison. You all are so tall. We're just believing that the Lord is just going to touch them. And we're going to pray for Nikki in faith. She can't be here, but we're just praying for her in faith that God is going to be with these young ladies as they go forward in life. All the fun days, well, not all of them, but a lot of the fun times are now. Reality is beginning to see. set in life now, ladies. But I want you to know, God is always faithful. He is always faithful. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's His word. You be true to Him, because He's true to you. Let's pray for these ladies. God, as we come to You today, we're so thankful, Lord Jesus, for Allison and Marissa and Nikki, Lord. And Lord, we're just believing, God, that You have some great plans for them. You have plans, Lord, for them to prosper. Plans for them to be in health. And Lord, as they further their education and they make endeavors into life, Lord God, we pray that, Lord, that they always will have their minds set upon You. Lord, they will look to You when, for the cares, the troubles of life that will come their way. And we know they will, because this is life. God, we just believe, Lord, that they're going to look to You. And Lord, they're going to seek You. And Lord, we find Your word says, if we will seek You, that we shall find You. Lord, if we knock, it shall be opened unto us. And Lord, if we ask anything in Your name, it shall be given. And Lord, we pray for these three young ladies that God, that You, Lord God, will just help them to be mindful of You always. May the scriptures that we have placed in their hands this morning, may these scriptures become lights for their paths. May these scriptures serve to be guides of them in everything that they go to do, everything they put their hand on. Lord, and I pray that, Lord, as they begin to sprout their wings, Lord, and they begin to fly, and they will be leaving the nest in the next few months. God, we just believe, Lord, that You are, God's going to show them and teach them and guide them in all truths, Lord. And Lord, You're going to protect them. And Lord, may us as their church and their parents and their family, may we always be faithful to undergird them in prayer and hold them up, Lord, because they are very precious gifts in Your sight and that You've given us. And Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And we thank You for Marissa and Allison and Nikki and all that You've done for them thus far. And all that You are going to do for them as young ladies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give these ladies a hand for all their hard work. Thanks to both of you all. We appreciate it so much. God bless you. I asked Allison a few mornings ago. I saw her down here at the Tutors. And she was talking about giving a speech for graduation or some part of commencement. I said, a speech? I said, well, maybe you want to do a Sunday morning sometime. Maybe you want to say something. She said, just tell me when. So I don't know. Y'all better watch out up on Turner Hill. You know, you may have an Esther, an evangelist or something in your sight. Thank you guys for playing along behind me, and we'll have you come back up, perhaps those of you that can, and will later on this morning. So we appreciate it so much. Well, I want to share a little bit of word with you this morning. And if y'all bring my PowerPoint up, and it is Pentecost Sunday. It's graduation Sunday. It is also parent-child dedication Sunday at Voice of Praise. Don't tell. There it is. There it is. Oh, and we are glad to see you here. Welcome home. Now, if you've never been to Voice of Praise before, or if you haven't been here in a long, long time, hopefully somebody gave you a little card. It's a Connect card, a little slip of paper to fill out. And if you'll fill that out, we've got a special little gift to give you to remember us by. And we won't harass you, but we would like to get to know you just a little bit better. And we appreciate so much you being here today. And I know some of you have some very special vested interests that have brought you here today. But regardless of why you're here, thanks for being at Voice of Praise and welcome home. I want you to turn. I just lost my PowerPoint. What happened? I just lost it. We have got a new video control system. It's brand spanking new. So I pardon me for any interruptions. And I also forgot to get my, will you go over and get my iPad for me? I knew I was forgetting something. So this morning, as we go into this service, I'm going to preach not necessarily about Pentecost Sunday, but I'm going to be preaching about the family and the function of parents and the functions of children in the family. Thank you, Miss Sarah. She's so good to me. She takes care of me all the time. And we're just, I want, because you know what? I said this a few weeks ago in Life Group. And if you've never been to a Life Group, by the way, always remember Life Groups start at 9:45, and we have them for all different ages. We have two different platforms, if you would, of Life Groups for adults. Always feel free to come out and join us in a Life Group. We'd love to have you. But back to the family. A number of years ago, I was in one of my pastorates. I had a, and my son was younger, and of course his mother was still alive and well at that time. And I had a lady come up, and it's always a lady, okay? I had one of the sisters of the church, one of the ladies of the church. She come up to me, and she called me Rev. She said, Rev, you're not doing your family right. And I said, what do you mean? She said, you're not giving proper attention to your family. Because ministry can be very consuming. Okay? She said, you're not doing your family right. I thought, well, I'm feeding them. We've got a home over our heads and all the bills are paid and this and that and the other. She said, you're not doing your family right. She said, you need to understand, the church is not the most important thing in your life. She said, God is the most important. She said, but before God ever created the church, He created the family. Okay? She said, family existed before church. And there's truth in that. Now, some may say some would disagree in that, and you, that's okay. You know, but because really when it comes down to it, it's all closely knit together. You have God, family, and church, and if we're doing it right, we've got all of those things knitted together, and God does things in three so oftentimes, and we find that it's all knit together, and in that, we have God, we have our families, and we have our church. That's what brings us here today. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn them back to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 28. When we read verse number 28, the Bible says, God blessed them, and He's speaking to Adam and Eve here, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. So having babies is a good thing. It's scriptural, you young people. Okay? God bless them. Be fruitful, increase in number. Find you somebody. Find you that person. You know, pardon me for my interruption. I'm going to ramble here just a moment. Last night I overheard my son was having a conversation about our grandson. Our grandson's soon to turn 13 years old. And he's asking his daddy a question about having a girlfriend, whether this would be a good girlfriend or not a good girlfriend. And I asked, of course, you know, it's the grandpa thing. It's what us grandparents do. I interrupted and I said, the main thing is he needs to find him a little girl that loves Jesus. Mm-hmm. So find you a man, find you a woman that loves Jesus, and then be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Childbearing and child rearing are two of the oldest commandments that are given to man. Having children is not merely a command, but I want you to understand this. Having children is actually a privilege that's given to us by God. Because having children, it's not mistakes, it shouldn't be a burden, but having children is actually a privilege because we are getting to add to or to build the kingdom of God. In essence, because we can have children, we actually have joined God in the work of procreation. That's why here at Voice of Praise, we take a strong stance on we are pro-life, because every life is valuable. But see, but we not only, when we reproduce and we have children, we're not only reproducing people, but we also are reproducing future worshipers of God, future evangelists, future teachers, future preachers, future song leaders, future Sunday school teachers, people that will be life changers. No child is an accident. Sometimes there's people that make poor choices, but life is never a mistake. A mistake that can be set aside or aborted or neglected. Children are special. And we see that in Psalms 127 in verse 3. When the psalmist penned, "Children are a gift from God. They are a reward from Him." You know, we live in a time when, I don't know, it seems like trophies are at every turn. Trophies and ribbons. You know, you don't even have to win a game and you can still get a trophy in Little League ball and stuff now. I know that. You know, everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets a ribbon, okay? The children are a reward from God. How blessed is it when children come into our life? We find that Jesus values children. When we go to Matthew chapter 19, and we begin to read verses 13, and that should be through 15 there. "Some children were brought to Jesus so that He could lay His hands on them and pray for them. The disciples told them not to bother Him." They were pushing the children away. But Jesus said, "Let the children come to Me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." All of us that are adulting in the room, think about what Jesus said. Jesus said if we could be a little bit more like these kids, we would be better off. You know, these kids and I know kids play differently than I did when I was little. But, you know, when I was little, we didn't have a sandbox. We had a sand pile. And I had yellow Tonka trucks. Anybody know what a yellow Tonka truck is in the room? I had Tonka front end loaders. I had Tonka trucks. I had a Tonka bulldozer. I had a Tonka backhoe. And we would go out there in the sand pile. And J.D. Jones, our next door neighbor, he was the only person that lived actually anywhere close to us. He and I would come up and he would come up and we would get playing in the sand pile with our Tonka trucks. And next thing you know, we would be mad. We would be throwing sand on one another. We'd even throw a Tonka truck at one another every once in a while. But you know what? Our moms would end up getting involved. And our mamas would end up being mad at one another and not speak to one another for 2 or 3 months. But you know what? Me and JD, we could get over it 5 minutes later and mamas are mad at one another and we're back playing in their Tonka trucks again. You know, if we could just be a little bit more like kids sometimes. Jesus said, "Let those kids come to Me. Don't stop them." He said, "For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." He's speaking about the innocence of a child. The innocence of a child. And He put His hands on their heads and He blessed them. He spoke a blessing over them before they left. Listen, children have blind faith. You want somebody to pray for you. You want somebody to pray for you. You get a 5-year-old that has been taught and trained. You let a 5-year-old lay their hands on their head. A 3-year-old, or even a 4-year-old, lay their hands on their head and begin to pray for you. Children have a blind faith. They the time to bend a tree is when it's young, the Bible teaches us. And they have that uncanny ability to forgive one another. Oh, if we could just be like the children. But here's what happens. The children end up being like us. the example that we set in front of them, the lifestyle that we live before them, listen, they are, listen, I told Sarah the other day, I caught myself, I was sitting on the couch and I don't know if I was FaceTiming somebody, I don't know what I was doing, but a little while later I told Sarah, I said, oh dear Lord, I said, I am a mini Norris. That was my dad, Norris Taylor. I said, I'm a mini Norris. I look like him. I'm even sitting here and whatever I'm doing, and I find myself doing all of these quirky things that my dad used to do that just irritated the daylights out of me, you know. I find myself sitting here doing like this because my dad did that all the time. Aggravated me. Listen to me. They are going to be like you. So whatever you do, however you act, and even how you look, they are going to be like you. So it's very important. This morning is not just about the children, but it's also about us. Because we are the people that the little ones will model themselves after. Some of it's genetics, okay? Some of it they're just going to naturally inherit. But other things, they are going to learn from you. You know why I like Chevrolets and don't like Fords? Because my daddy was a Chevrolet man, and he was smart. Okay? You say, well, you had a Ford here the other night, preacher. I did, but it had a Chevrolet motor in it. But understand this. We are instrument. You are the most influential person in these children's lives. Whatever footsteps you take, they're going to walk in your tracks. They're going to follow you. Listen to what the scripture has to say about it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I have given you today are to be upon your heart. Impress them on your children. Wow. Impress them on your children. Now when I was in grade school, and I already told you how long ago that's been, I can remember they gave us a big old block of modeling clay. I don't even know if they make that stuff anymore. You know, you can do magnificent things with modeling clay. You can make all kinds of stuff. And actually, it doesn't taste too bad either if you eat it when you're young. Okay. But, these children are, if you would, like clay in our hands. It's the opportunity for us to model and to shape them. Let me finish that. He said, impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. Talk about things. Be that influence. Instruct your children. Listen, they're learning enough off their cell phones. They need to learn something from mama and daddy and grandma and grandpa and aunt and uncle and whoever else, okay? Let me just go ahead and say it. We got too many cell phones and iPads and Macs and PCs. And we got too much of that stuff. And TV's not even an issue anymore. That are teaching our children. I don't get mad. No, I'm not mad. Y'all don't get mad. Listen. Quit throwing the iPad and the phone in their hand and let that babysit them. You invest into your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews. You invest into them. Take them fishing, take them hunting, go to their ball games, whatever. But don't depend on AI raising your children, because it will. It will. And you're probably not going to like the end result. And I speak to you through, my son's never been in trouble. He's not perfect by any means. I'm not suggesting that. He's never been in any kind of trouble, never been in jail. Actually, he puts people in jail for a living. That's what he does. But the reality of it is, I want to tell you something, young moms and young dads here this morning, if you've got teenagers, if you've got small children, toddlers, are these little infant babies. Let me tell you something. Those are the best years of your life when it comes to raising your kids. Your grown adult kids will give you more heartache than they ever will when they're little. So impress into their lives. Impress your children. Talk about them when you're home, when you're driving down the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them upon your foreheads. Write them upon the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Give your children Jesus. Okay? Give your grandchildren Jesus. Give your nieces and your nephews Jesus. Give your next door neighbor's kids Jesus. Give Jesus to children along the way. So it's all about being committed. Being committed to teach your children about the God, Jehovah. Be a committed example. I've already said enough about that. But this morning we're doing a parent-child dedication service. It's not, these little infants, all the candidates this morning are just mere infants. They can't make decisions. They can't decide. They can't decide what this, that, or the other. They don't even decide, you know, what they're going to eat. They decide when they're going to eat. They'll cry and let you know that, but they don't get to decide what they're going to eat. But the decision making really comes into the parents' part this morning. And it's a threefold covenant in this parent-child dedication service this morning. The first responsibility is on the adults. First, it's the covenant of the parents. The parents to teach the love of God and the honor of God to their children. We recognize the children's maturity, individuality, giftings. We lead them in the presence of God. Proverbs 22:6 said, train a child up in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Let me tell you, my parents weren't Christians, but they taught me some great moral values. Some of those were taught with a little switch. If that bothers you, well, it's okay. My mom and dad never was in jail for child abuse, and I've never been in jail either. So it tells me something was okay. Train a child up in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not turn from it. Nothing done in this dedication service is going to seal the destiny of any child. Every child is going to grow until its own age of accountability, and they will begin to make their own decisions, and they will ultimately have their own decision for Christ. But the parents have the responsibility of indoctrinating these children. That's the first point. Second point is, it's a covenant of parents to children to promise to love them unconditionally and provide for them. I want to tell you something, moms and dads. Sometimes your kids are hard to love. They are. And don't mean that you don't love them. It's just hard to sometimes you just want to, quote my mama, you just want to wring their neck. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. I got a witness back there. Yeah. Sometimes our kids are hard to love, but we love them anyway. Even when, listen, it's a God type love. It's an agape type love that even, you know, God loves us when we're not doing right. And our children need to love us to love them when they're not doing right, even though we might not be pleased with them. Scott, if you want to go back and get children's church, please. Scott, if you want to. Okay. I don't know if I had his attention there. Secondly, it's a covenant of parents to love the children unconditionally. Finally, it represents the covenant of the church body to support the parents in the task of raising these children in the faith. Listen, if whether this is your home church or you have another home church, and I'm assuming that all these three candidates by now too, this is what you consider your home church. Let me tell you something. We are going to make a commitment as a church to stand with you and your family in the raising of your children. Okay? But we can't help you. And I'm not casting stone towards anybody, because all of you come to church, but we can't help you if you're not here. Hello? And as far as all of the other, all the everybody else in the church, and I didn't plan on saying all this. Everybody, anybody else in the church, listen, have any of y'all ever been, you ever been over here to some of these, like we like going to Big Lots. You ever go into Big Lots and seen those fake fireplaces that they've got? You know, it's a glass and you can see the flame. You ever try to go up and get warm beside one of them? The fire looks pretty, but you don't get any heat. Let me tell you something. You can't get what you need from the body of Christ if you're never in fellowship with the body of Christ. And it doesn't matter whether you're part of this church family or not. You need a church family somewhere. And the church family makes a commitment. Listen, you just now saw, how many did you have this morning, Haley? You just now heard 20 kids enter the sanctuary plus what was already in here. Let me tell you something. Who just cried? Somebody cry again. That's what I wanted to hear. That is one of the greatest sounds that you'll ever hear in the house of God. As much as we like shouting and we're Pentecostal people talking in tongues and all kinds of things going on, maybe somebody swinging from the chandeliers, walking the back of pews, there is no greater sound. There is no greater sound to be heard in the house of God than the cry of a baby. Thank God for the cries and the sticky hands this morning. I want the candidates to come forward, and if you all would come sort in this order, and I'm encouraging the families and any friends that want to come with them to come on down. I'm going to ask, we start over here with Tyson's family, Tyson Lesnett, if you will come over here to my right, Miss Sarah is going to help you. And then immediately beside the Lesnitz, I want Raylan. I want Raylan's family to come next beside the Lesnitz. And y'all can spread this way a little bit. It's fine. Y'all can probably be about right here. It's good. Laura Bell and all of her family just come about right here. All that would like to be a part of it. And then Aurora, Miss Aurora and her family, if you all will come right over here on this side, and all that would like to come and be with them, y'all maybe slide a little bit this way. So we got now these are the wow. It's right in there's good. Am I right? Right there's good. Wow! Look at all these people. Wow! Whew. You know, somebody said here a while back, that's a family church. Praise God. Church full of families. That's always good. That is always good. Give them a hand. We appreciate it. And this morning I want you all to pray as we pray. Let's go down front, Sarah. And we're going to go in the order of their birth. And Tyson is the oldest one in the group. And as we get ready to dedicate Mr. Tyson, advance my PowerPoint screen, please. I didn't bring my clicker. Okay, one more. There we go. Tyson's a fine-looking young man. He is the only young man. He likes me, I think. He's the only young man here this morning. And he and his dad are, they live in a house among many women. And all of them very pretty. But Michael and Katie, I want to ask you a question. Do you commit to serve Tyson in word and examples, the principles that are set forth by Jesus Christ? will you all commit to rear him, to raise him under the influence of the Holy Spirit? Okay. If you keep these promises that you've made, I can promise you that Tyson is going to be blessed, and you all are going to be blessed as his parents the days of his life. So we want to take time today to just to lay our hands on Tyson and just to pray for him and just believe that God is blessing his life, but he's also blessing you all as the family. So I want to ask all the family that can gather close by. We're just going to pray a prayer of dedication over Tyson. Father, today I pray for Tyson James Lesnett. Lord, we just believe that you've gifted this family once again. And Lord, Tyson is just going to grow, and he's just going to be nurtured by his mom and dad and all the rest of the family that's gathered around. And Lord, he is going to grow into being the young man that you want him to be. Lord, we believe, Lord, the words of the prophet, Lord, that you have great plans for us to prosper and to be in health, Lord God. And I believe that today that Tyson will grow and he will be in health, Lord, and you will prosper him. And as Lord, his mother and dad, Lord, guide him and teach him in all truth, in all things in their life, Lord God. You're just going to bless and keep this young man. In Jesus' name. And Lord, when he comes to the time where he makes his own decisions, Lord, I pray that his decision will be to serve you. And he will know you as his Lord and his Savior. Amen and amen. 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 Let's give Tyson a hand. All right, advance me one more slide, please. Miss Raylan. Miss Raylan is the second oldest of this group, and she is so sleepy. She is so, so sleepy. And as we pray for Raylan and dedicate her, Heath and Madison, I too ask you all, do you promise to teach Raylan in word and in example the principle set forth by the Scripture and point her to Christ? Do you commit to rearing her in the influence of the Holy Spirit? In keeping those promises, I believe that Raylan will be blessed the days of her life. And I believe when the time comes that she is accountable for her own spiritual walk with God, I'm believing with you all that she will make a decision for Christ in her life. Amen. Let's, all the family, just reach up. Let's just pray a prayer of dedication. Father, as we come to you today, Lord, we lay our hands on baby Raylan, and we just believe that Raylan Grace Browning is blessed of you, Lord. We just believe that you are ministering into her life, Lord, and you are anointing her mother and you are anointing her dad to teach her and to guide her and show her all truths, Lord, and live out a godly example in front of her. And God, when it comes that time that she's reached that age of accountability, Lord, she will make a decision to call on you. Lord, we're praying that she will not turn from you, but Lord, she will look unto you as her Lord and her Savior, Lord. And Lord, until that time, keep her and watch out over her and protect her in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Smile at me. She likes smiling at me. Don't you? Don't you? Yeah. So we have a certificate, and each child is going to receive a children's devotional Bible as well. Next slide, please. We're moving on to Laura Bell. And I wasn't sure if that's Laura Bell or Laura Bell. It's however I want to do it, right? Right. But she is the next to youngest. And bless her heart. She she is all sleepy and hungry as well. But I ask the two of you all, Bethany and Derek, I ask you all, do you all commit yourself as parents to raise Laura Bell up in word and example, the principles that are set forth by Jesus Christ? Do you commit to rear this child under the influence of the Holy Spirit? If you will keep these promises, I believe that Laura Bell will be blessed the days of her life. And we're believing that when the time comes that she has to make her own decision for Christ, that that influence will cause her to accept Him as her Lord and Savior. So let's, family, if you'll just reach your hand this way. And Lord, as we lay our hands on Laura, God, we just believe that today that Laura Bell is going to grow up to be a remarkable young lady. Laura Bell Neal will be a daughter of yours. Lord, she is going to be bright. She's going to be intelligent. She is going to serve you in every capacity. God, you're just going to minister into her life. God, we just believe that today as we lay our hands on her, that, Lord, that you are just going to protect her and keep her from all harm. God, I pray for Bethany and I pray for Derek, Lord, as they are the example setters for this young lady, God, that they will be great examples. They will show her a life that exemplifies Christ. And, Lord, I just pray today that, Lord, that as time comes and the years pass and if you tarry your coming, that Laura will have the opportunity to make a decision about you for herself. God, I pray that she will call upon you and she will find you as Lord and Savior of her life. And you will meet and minister to every need that she has. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. 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 Let's give... All right. Our newest and latest addition. If y'all go ahead and advance me a screen, please. Aurora James Bradshaw. And as Miss Aurora, she is hungry too. She's just eating up a storm. Emma and AJ, I have to ask you the all-important question. If you all, as parents, will you commit to teach in word and example the principles that are set forth by the Bible to Aurora? Will you commit to, in your lives, will you commit to raise her up under the influence of the Holy Spirit? Living it out before you. As you all keep these promises as well, you all will also see Aurora's life just developed, and it will develop and she will grow, and you'll see remarkable things occur in her life. And you guys are young, but I believe that if you trust the Lord, you follow the Lord, all three of you can grow together. You will grow together. But I just want to share a portion of Scripture with you. And that portion of Scripture is, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things will be added to you. You all got a lot of life ahead of you. But seek the kingdom of God in all that you do. And since you have made this commitment, I want to ask that the family, if you want to reach in, would lay... I'm going to lay my hands upon Aurora's little head and all that beautiful hair I'm so envious of. And we're just going to declare a prayer of dedication over her. Father, as we pray for you, Lord, as we pray for Aurora, Lord, we just pray that you will minister and you will work in her life. Lord, she will grow and she will develop into a very precious young lady, even more so than she already is. And God, that you will keep her and you will watch out over her. And Lord, you will bless her, Lord. Lord, and I pray for Emma and I pray for AJ. That, Lord, that they too will grow in you. And Lord, they will be the parents that you, Lord, have called them to be. And they will teach this daughter, Lord, all the ways of Christ. And they will lead and guide her. And they will set an example before her. Lord, we ask that you protect her and keep her. Watch out over Aurora, Lord. And God, I pray that when she comes to that time of accountability in her life, when she can rightfully make a decision whether she wants to be saved or not, she will choose salvation. She will choose you, Lord, and she will find you as her Lord and her Savior. And God, until that time, protect her and watch out over her and keep her. And Lord, as we dedicate her in this moment of time to you, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, this morning, I'm in picture taker's way. This morning, you know, it's such an honor. It's such a privilege. I may have one more slide there. If I don't, that's okay. No, I don't. It's okay. It's been an honor and a privilege to. But listen, church, for all of you that are still sitting back here, what I ask of you is a commitment to pray for all of these. Pray for not just the babies, but pray for the parents. I only have one son. He's 38 years old. But I want to tell you, I say it oftentimes, I don't know that I would really want to be a parent in this day and time. Because it's so much different than it was in my day and time. But God is still God. And He's still faithful. And moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and cousins and whoever's here. Let me tell you something. God is still faithful. And God will help through all of you. God is going to help these mamas and daddies raise these children in the manner that they ought to. Can we give all of them a hand one more time? Tyson, Raylan, Laura Bell, and Aurora. Let's give them all a hand. And their moms and dads too. Let's give the moms and dads a hand. You all can be seated for just a moment. And we by all means welcome you to stay in as long as you would like to take some pictures. But before we dismiss, I want to ask you one question. The most important question that could be asked this morning of anybody is, are you saved? When I ask that question, are you saved, if your answer is no, I'm not, or if your answer is, well, I really don't know, if you don't know that you're saved, then you're probably not saved. Okay? But if you're here this morning without any embarrassment meant at all, intended at all, if you're here this morning and the answer to your question is no, or I'm not sure, let me invite you to let Jesus come in your heart. Let me encourage you in that. So this morning, I just want you to bow your heads with me, and I want you to pray. Everybody in the room, I want you to pray right along with me. Jesus, on this day of Pentecost, I want to know you. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of all iniquity. Lord, I want to believe you as my Savior today. I act in obedience. Your word says that if I will believe in my heart and confess with my mouth, that I shall be saved. So I believe you as my Savior. I confess you as my Savior. I believe I am free. I believe I am forgiven, not because of my goodness, not because of anything that I've done, but because of the cross. Because of you, Jesus, and my belief in you, that you are crucified, you were buried, and you rose again, I am saved. So today, develop me, create me, make me a disciple. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Now listen, if you're unsaved in this room today, if you came in unsaved, but you prayed that prayer in sincerity, and if you will believe in your heart that Jesus truly is the Son of God, He was crucified on a cross, He was buried in a borrowed tomb, He rose from the dead, if you believe that in faith, you believe in your heart, you confess Christ Jesus with your mouth, you shall be saved according to Scripture. If you believe that this morning, you can leave this room differently than you were when you came in. So if your answer was no, or your answer was I'm not sure, let me tell you, you can now be sure if you prayed that in faith and you prayed that in believing. If you gave your heart to Jesus this morning, I'd like for you to tell me that on your way out the door.